أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear brothers and sisters, respected elders, fellow Hausa students and comrades, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'd like to warmly welcome you all here for tonight's SOQ Thursday night program. We're going to be having a dua kumail. We're going to be showing you a video presentation which will actually be elaborating on the Mahsa Amini riots and how they were pre-planned according to Imam Khamenei. And then we're going to, of course, go to a very special speech from a very special person. Our books are full of du'as. If you open Mufatih, you'll find that it's chock full of lots and lots of du'as. Everywhere you look in our literature, you're going to find some sort of new du'a, and you'll always be stumbling across them. But there's one du'a which is really, really special. This du'a is actually known as the du'a of Khizr. Now, who was Khizr? Let's look at that for a moment. He wasn't a prophet per se, but he had been given so much knowledge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that even a great prophet like Prophet Musa alayhi salam came to him and said, "Can you teach me?" The Prophet Musa, he came to Khidr and he said, "Let me follow you so that I can learn from you." To which Khidr replied, وَكَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ خُبْرًا? How can you have patience upon that which you do not know, or that which you haven't encompassed in knowledge? That's the status of this personality known as Khidr. So you can only imagine what kind of dua that must have been. I'd like to ask each and every one of you now, do you want your prayers to be accepted? There's not one of you who's going to say, "Nah, I'm good." No, every one of us wants to be forgiven. Every one of us wants our prayers to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ali alayhi salam, about the dua of Khidr, said that this dua, if one recites it, Allah will certainly accept his prayers. Now, what is the dua of Khidr? One of the noble companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam came to him and said, "Ya Ali, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, teach me what that dua is." To which Imam Ali said, "O Kumail." And he taught him the dua of Khidr. That special, unique dua, we know it today as dua Kumail. There's many more who have gathered us now, so I'd like to say salamun alaykum wa rahmatullah to each and every one of you and give you all a warm welcome once again. There's a new video that we're working on. It's called Quran Tactics. And in that video, which inshallah you're going to see, we discuss why we do sujood twice. You see, in the salah, we do sujood twice. We do ruku' once, then we stand up, we go down into sujood, and then we sit up, we go down again, twice. Why do we do sujood twice? So there's a beautiful hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam where he explains and he says, the first time you go into sujood, you're saying, "Oh Allah, from this earth you created me." And then the second time you go into sujood, you're saying, "Oh Allah, to this very earth, you're going to return me." Now that's how much we're going to be talking about in the video. But since you're our very special honored guests, I'm going to give you a little bit more information that you won't find in that video. There's a beautiful hadith of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Salli ala Muhammad. Where he says that when I went on my celestial journey, I was so enamored and amazed by witnessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I went into sujood. Then I came out of sujood and I saw the greatness of Allah once again. So again I went into sujood. Thus we derive this sunnah
of doing sujood twice. Now just think about how much this would impact our each and every salah if we paid it a little bit of attention every time we did sujood. But there's even another hadith, and this time it's of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where he explains that when you're standing, it counts as a full rak'at, or it counts as two rak'ats if you're praying a two rak'at prayer. But when you're sitting and you pray that same two rak'ats, it only counts as half as much. It counts as one rak'at, for example, even if you're praying a two rak'at prayer. Therefore, we do two sujoods. I've lost you. I've completely lost you with that hadith, right? And this is the point that I wanted to raise. As muballighin, as scholars, as those who are living in the holy city of Qom, as those who are representing the Shia school of thought, and indeed the revolutionary path, we need to be very selective about what we choose to share with the public. What types of information they need to hear first and foremostly, and what types of information they're ready to understand. Such a hadith are left for the fuqaha. Please, dear brothers and sisters, let's try to keep Islam simple. Because Islam is simple. We are the ones who tend to complicate it. Now, we're going to be showing you a video presentation very shortly. As we wait... Oh, the screen's already down? Okay. Well, there's just one thing that I wanted to elaborate on before we go to the video production, and that is this. Sometimes you'll meet Muslims who don't read the Quran. You ask them, do you believe in the Quran? They'll say yes. Do you believe that the Quran is the word of Allah? They'll say yes. You'll say, do you believe that this book has all of the answers and all of the solutions for all the problems that exist in your life? They'll say yes. What's the problem then? They simply don't read it. Similarly, you will encounter certain revolutionaries who believe in Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. They believe he's the Waliul Faqih. If you ask them, do you believe that he is the representative of Imam Zaman? They'll say yes. You ask them, do you believe that following him is the same as following the Wali of the time, following the Imam of the time? They'll say yes. What's the problem then? It's precisely that. People are not engaged or reading or listening to what the leader, what the Waliul Faqih is actually saying. Therefore, I'd like to urge each and every one of us to attend the leader's speech discussion. You might have seen the posters floating around. The SOQ, as well as these Thursday programs, does all sorts of activities. One of those activities is the leader speech discussion. Every week, a group of brothers and sisters, we get together and they discuss the leader's speeches. Right? They analyze them, they talk about them, they share ideas, they do mubahatha on the leader's speeches. And therefore, they stay connected to that leader of ours, and through that we're being connected to the guiding principles of Imam Zaman. The plot thickens. Don't believe the propaganda, don't believe the lies of the mainstream media. Follow the leader, because we're headed into a storm of fitna. Inshallah, this may be the final steps of Akhir al-Zaman. It's going to get much more sticky unless we stay connected to the leader and we, you know, pay careful attention to what he's saying. We're going to get lost in a quagmire of fitna and facade being created by the enemies. And by the way, the leader didn't say this before. When we had protests, when we had riots before in Iran, this was not the same sentiment that the leader expressed. This time he's saying that it was planned. Barnamerizi shude. This time he's saying that basara sarahat. He's saying very explicitly, this was America, this was the Zionists. I would like to inject a little bit of humor into tonight's event. So please do permit me to make a complaint. Can somebody please tell me why someone has to always wet the slippers in the wudu khane? Why? Why does somebody always has to do it? It's one of the problems that we face today is that someone always has to wet the slippers during wudu. And so you go into the wudu khane to take wudu, you put on the slippers, and oh, surprise, surprise, your feet are now wet. Why? Why does this have to happen? Some people just can't do wudu like normal people. No, they have to give the slippers ghusl. Just in case the slippers are najis, they'll say. First of all, if they're najis, what are you doing? What are you doing in there? Seriously. Secondly, brother, najasa is spread through water. If the slippers were dry and you didn't wet them, we wouldn't have to worry about them being najis in the first place. It's haqqun nas, I tell you. It's haqqun nas. Do I not have the right to enjoy dry slippers when I go inside the bathroom? But this problem is an ongoing problem. It doesn't get resolved. You go into any Islamic center, there's always one guy who will wet the slippers. I believe, inshallah, we must first liberate Palestine, unite the Ummah, we must exact revenge, severe revenge, and push the invading American and imperial forces out of the Muslim lands. Then we must usher in the era of Imam Zaman, spread Islam to the four corners of the earth, and ideologically and technologically evolve to such an extent that we Muslims become the wonder of the world, and we will be the masters of science and knowledge and create a world without poverty and famine, a just world where equity and tolerance reign supreme. After all this, maybe, inshallah, maybe, that guy will stop wetting the slippers. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.